This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. A major coalition of progressive organizations has just formed under the clearly named banner of Take on Wall Street. A number of unions, consumer advocacy groups, and even The Nation magazine have joined in. The Nation's George Zornick, writing about Take on Wall Street, explained it this way, quote, "The campaign has five concrete policy goals: closing the carried interest loophole, enacting a Wall Street speculation tax, ending Too Big to Fail and reinstituting Glass-Steagall, closing the CEO bonus loophole and ending predatory lending, while creating more safe banking institutions, including one with the U.S. Postal Service." Joining me now is Joe Dinkin. He is the National Communications Director of the Working Families Party. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
So let's talk about the timing of this particular coalition being formed. Is it that this particular moment in American history, given the popularity of the Sanders candidacy, make it a really prime moment for the American public to embrace such a coalition that states very explicitly that it is, you know, taking on Wall Street?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. This is a perfect moment to really focus the attention of American people on the, you know, bad actors on Wall Street who still have far too much control over our economy. Bernie Sanders's campaign, which was has been remarkably successful in galvanizing young people, galvanizing working class people, and proving, I think, in the media that issues of the concentration of power and the concentration of economic might are really distorting our economy and our political system, with no bigger villain on that stage than big Wall Street banks. 8 years ago, almost now, the Wall Street banks collapsed our economy, did damage to millions and millions of working class and middle class families. And I think there are some bankers who probably would have been happier if everybody just said, well, 8 years later, let's let bygones be bygones and forget about it. And the same bad behavior can continue all over again. And I think the Sanders campaign has proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's still a really salient issue in the minds of American people. For most working class, middle class families who still haven't seen incomes recover, who haven't necessarily seen home values rebound, who are feeling less and less secure than ever, we still want to see action that remakes our economy in such a way that it really works for all people and not just the wealthy and well-connected. And I think what's so interesting about this new coalition is that it's bringing together both organizations that have backed Bernie Sanders and organizations that backed Hillary Clinton during this primary, and shows that this is really the strong majoritarian view within the sort of Democratic coalition that urgent action to take on Wall Street is really needed pretty imminently.
And I want to bring up, and let's delve a little bit into the fact that the coalition does represent a coming together of people who've supported and organizations that have supported two actually quite different candidates, right? One would argue that the Clinton candidacy is not taking on Wall Street as strongly as it ought to, or is taking on Wall Street strongly only during this primary election because Clinton has seen how popular it is, but it has contrasted with her previous positions. For example, she's still not up on restoring Glass-Steagall. But the other view, of course, could be that such a coalition might pull her or pressure her further towards Sanders. Can you explore that a bit?
Yeah, well, I think that what's so remarkable is the breadth of the coalition coming together. And I think sometimes it's easy to overstate the role of politicians and understate the role of movements when people are looking at politics, understate the role of organized people. And the fact that groups and leaders who are Bernie endorsers, you know, on the Bernie side, people like us, the Working Families Party, also the, you know, Communication Workers of America and Move On, and Representative Keith Ellison, and then major forces that are backing Clinton, including some of the big unions like the SEIU and AFT, all coming together to say that this is the platform of where we want to see you know, any, not just presidential candidate, any presidential administration, any candidate for Congress, even any state legislative candidate, this is where we want to see them go to really embrace an agenda that directly confronts the lopsided power that Wall Street banks have had in our economy for so long. And so I think that's really the powerful piece here.
Now, the coalition's demands are very specific, which are, you know, which is a little refreshing, actually, to see very specific demands that that the public would like to see: the reinstatement of Glass-Steagall, the closing of the CEO bonus loophole, and the Wall Street speculation tax, which is a really, really interesting idea. How do you explain this to ordinary people? If you wanted to convince the person on the street that to take on Wall Street is really serious about reining in Wall Street's excesses and making it answer more to the public, you know, do these issues get a little bit wonkish, or can you explain them clearly?
No, I think each one of the platform elements is pretty compelling on their own. Once you have a minute to explain it in a conversation, you know, that's what organizing is. And the names might sound a little wonky, but the concepts are really clear to people, I think. You know, when you talk about carried interest loophole, that's true. That's the technical term for what we're talking about. But when you talk about the fact that private equity managers and hedge fund managers pay lower tax rates than ordinary people, people kind of can get intuitively that's messed up. When you talk about Glass-Steagall, people might not know what Glass-Steagall means, but it's pretty easy to explain to people that a couple of big banks took big bets and broke the economy back in 2008, and we still haven't really done anything to fix that problem. So that's just sort of another way of talking about what the real problem is. And I think most people have a pretty intuitive understanding of the way that Wall Street's wealth has put their thumb on the, on the scale of the economy, as Elizabeth Warren often says, rewritten the rules for their own benefit, stacked the deck. And I think people can understand the ways in which they've done that when those things are explained.
Now, Forbes.com, which is arguably the journal of Wall Street, was very upset about Wall Street. So this is a piece written by Tim Warstall. The headline is "Take on Wall Street's Horrible Confusion of a Policy Agenda." And Mr. Warstall goes through the five main policy demands of Take on Wall Street. I'll just go through one of them. End tax exemption for huge CEO bonuses. Mr. Warstall says, quote, "This is an actively bad idea. We have a research that shows that high CEO pay is one of the reasons why American companies do so much better than Japanese ones." Well, Joe, what about Americans, actual American people?
Yeah, you know, we have higher economic inequality than any other developed nation. There's a reason for that, and exploding CEO pay is part of the reason for that. And a system that makes it easier and easier to concentrate more money at the top and less for working people, we think that's not so good. And as CEO pay has exploded in relation to pay for ordinary workers, you know, when you have, big companies like Verizon, is in a labor dispute with their workers, trying to kind of push down standards for working class people right now, even as profits are up, even as CEO pay gets, you know, higher and higher. I think people have a visceral gut reaction to that. And, you know, it's no surprise that people who benefit from the system that exists, probably people like Mr. Warstall himself or his friends, his colleagues, people whose interests he share, disagree with us. We never thought that this would be a campaign we could win without a fight. But we think when we talk to American people of almost every stripe, except for CEOs themselves, they're with us on this one.
And how important is the endorsement of people like Senator Elizabeth Warren? I mean, she's in a position as a senator to influence and to set policy. And you mentioned Keith Ellison, Nydia Velazquez is another representative. So what's interesting about this coalition is that you've got unions, you've got advocacy organizations, you've got parties like yours, and then you actually have members in Congress. Are those members of Congress you hope, going to be pushing forward these specific policy solutions in the form of pieces of legislation. And we actually know that there have been historically pieces of legislation asking for these very specific things. They've generally tended to die in Congress.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really valuable to have the elected officials on board with this, because elected officials in our current political system, they've got a really big bully pulpit. Almost nobody in the progressive movement, not very many people, have a bigger platform than Elizabeth Warren, and her using her voice in collaboration with this coalition to elevate these issues, a lot of things that she's been fighting for before as part of this new package and backed up by an army of this diverse coalition of progressive groups, I think is really powerful. It also means she can introduce legislation in Congress. You know, we have Republican-controlled majorities in both houses right now, but it also means having elected officials on board helps kind of frame this as an electoral choice in the current moment, where when candidates for office, politicians are talking about this, it reminds people that how they vote actually will have an impact on whether or not policies like this move forward. So what we really hope is that more candidates for office, candidates for, you know, from state legislatures to Congress, are embracing this kind of platform too.
So, Joe, tell us about the Working Families Party. We're here in Southern California. I'm not sure if you have chapters in California, but tell us about this party, what exactly it stands for, and where it's active.
Sure. So the Working Families Party is a progressive grassroots political party that fights for social justice, economic justice, and racial justice, and we like to win. I think we're probably most known in New York. We launched in New York in 1998. That's our strongest and first chapter. We're pretty well known for our, you know, long relationship with progressive mayor Bill de Blasio in New York City. Over the last couple of years, we've grown pretty quickly and currently have organized state chapters in about a dozen states now, where people are, you know, winning on real progressive policies like raising the minimum wage, the fight for 15, winning paid family leave and paid sick days, winning campaigns to raise taxes on the wealth on the wealthy to ensure that we have decent funding for public education or for healthcare, tackling student debt, tackling unfair policing practices, and those are the kinds of things that we've fought for and are winning in a number of states. We made our first ever national endorsement this cycle, endorsing Bernie Sanders after a membership vote showing 87% of our members wanted to back Bernie Sanders. We have a membership that's growing around the country, and people were really mobilized to get involved in the Sanders campaign. But the other thing we're doing is around the country we are helping to recruit, train, and elect the next generation of progressive leaders, a lot of them running for office, as Bernie Sanders has done, running for office in Democratic primaries, either in open seats or challenging Democrats who we think are more easily influenced by wealthy donors than by what their voters and what progressives actually want to see them do.
Well, it sounds like you have made more progress on actually getting people into positions of power than the Green Party. When people think of third parties, we instantly think of the Green Party. How is Working Families different from the Green Party?
Well, we mostly have a different strategic approach. We are not afraid of backing people who are running inside Democratic Party primaries. And we've seen, you know, the same way that the Tea Party changed America by running, you know, far right-wing candidates in Republican primaries by taking out people who they thought weren't sufficiently conservative or sufficiently loyal to the Tea Party's values. We found it's a really powerful tactic to back people who are, you know, part of our movement and who share our values and can run for office inside Democratic primaries. We also sometimes elect people outside of Democratic primaries. There are a handful of state legislators and municipal elected officials in a number of places who are just Working Families Party members who ran and defeated Democrats. But more often than not, we're looking for candidates who share our values and who we can help elect.
So how can people get involved with both Take on Wall Street and the Working Families Party? Any plans to expand outside of New York?
Let me answer the first one first. Mm-hmm. To get involved with Take on Wall Street, it's takeonwallst.com. And the easiest way to get involved is by signing the petition to Congress for those five platforms that you named. Over 100,000 people already have, which we think is pretty good for a brand new campaign. So people should just go over there. And the Working Families Party, today we have active chapters in 10 states and people who are, or I'm sorry, in a dozen states now, and people who are beginning to launch chapters in a bunch more. So you should just go on over to our website at workingfamilies.org and sign up. And if you're interested in, you can click on states to check what states we already have active organizations in. And if you want to start one in a new place, you should just reach out.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and good luck to you.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on.
My guest is Joe Dinkin. He is the National Communications Director of the Working Families Party. Again, that website was takeonwallstreet.org. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. And if you'd like to find the websites that we mention on the air, as well as watch the video interviews that we do. Every single interview we do these days is a TV interview that's videotaped and available on our website at risingupwithsonali.com.